We are in the middle of a sermon series through the Gospel of Luke. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we're a biblical church. Part of what that means is we believe the Bible is God's word and that teaching and preaching through it consecutively, which is what we're doing through the Gospel of Luke, is one of the best things we can do to be built up in our faith, understand who Jesus is, all of those things. So we're in Luke. We started that this fall. Luke, of course, is one of the four primary source accounts of Jesus's life and ministry written in the lifetime of the eyewitnesses of the event. So everything we're reading here, including the story we're going to read today, is based on eyewitness testimony that was written down in the first century. So we have two passages. The first from Leviticus 14 just continues. We're reading about Jesus healing the leper, but it's important to understand the background of leprosy in the Old Testament. That's what the Leviticus 13 and 14 passage gives us some shape for. So we'll start with Leviticus 14, and then our focus so will be on Luke 5 and the healing of the leper. So please follow along with me as I read to us. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This law shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them in the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into an open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp and live outside, but live outside his tent 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave off all of his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all of his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean." And then skipping a few verses forward, "The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean." Now coming to Luke's gospel, our focus for this morning, "While he," that is Jesus, "was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." This is the word of the Lord. A lot in our passage this morning. On the one hand, it really is a beautiful picture of the compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ to all people, and particularly people who were, we might say, on the margins of society, the untouchables, right? And you may know that one of the things that have caused Christians to stand out in the early centuries of Rome was the compassion and mercy of Christians in a way that just wasn't true of the society around them. One historian I read recently talks about in the ancient world, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd century Rome, the idea that all people have dignity, and this is a quote, "the idea that dignity might be possessed by the stinking, toiling masses just wasn't present. But here the Christians come and they began showing dignity and showing compassion to all people." Right, for the Christians, this is another quote, "there was no existence so wretched, none so despised or vulnerable that it did not bear witness to the image of God." Rodney Stark, in his book, The Triumph of Christianity, actually talks about how in the early Roman world, the first, second, third century, there were several plagues that would come in and just wipe out large portions of the population. But the Christian response to plague victims was so different from everyone around them. Many people who could fled, went to their homes of safety. But others, at the first sign of disease or plague, would just cast out people into the streets. And apparently the streets were just filled with dead people and dying people. The Christians didn't do that, by and large. They actually cared for their sick and the sick of the city. And that made a big impression. And Stark argues that's part of the reason why many people were converted and became Christians, is the compassion and mercy. And generally speaking, it's been noted that it was the Christians in the early world who cared for those that nobody else did. Cared for the orphans, the widows, the imprisoned, the shipwrecked, the sick. It was the Christians who would go to the garbage heaps to rescue babies that were abandoned there and left to die, which sadly was common practice in Rome at the time. And where did that impulse come? Where did the compassion come from? Well, it came from what we believe about God, that God is a God who cares for the suffering, for the outcast, for the orphan and widows, the fatherless. And we see this very powerfully, actually, in this passage, in Jesus, who literally, as we'll talk about, touches someone who was considered untouchable, who cares for them. But there's more to this passage than just that. It also shows us that Jesus has the power and authority to make us clean. We're going to talk about cleanness a lot. You heard that in the reading. The leper, you see, has a much bigger problem than just his leprosy. Hard to believe that. That's a big problem. But his bigger problem is that he is unclean before God and therefore unfit to be in the presence of God. He needs not just to be healed, but to be cleansed. And in that, this story really is about all of us. The leper is a picture of us all, of our condition, of our need for cleansing before God. And the good news is that just as Jesus is able to clean and is willing to clean the leper, he's able to do that in our life as well. So let's walk through this very short encounter. We'll first look at the desperation of the leper, then we'll see the faith of the leper, and then the cleansing of the leper. So the desperation of the leper. So in verse 12, it's very short, but there's a lot packed in here. We find a man who's desperate to see Jesus. He comes to Jesus, he falls on his face and starts begging him, right? These are signs of desperation. You fall down, you're begging. This man is desperate, and why? Well, Luke tells us why. Because he is full of leprosy. And that one word tells us so much. Leprosy at that time is a broad term referred to various types of diseases of the skin. It may not be exactly the same as what we think of leprosy today. We don't know exactly what this meant, but we know the effects of it. Obviously, there are physical effects of this. You know, Luke's comment that he was full of leprosy indicates that this disease was dominating him, right? Probably had painful, splotches of skin all over his body. He probably looked at this man and saw someone who is disfigured. I'm sure it was very painful. Physical effects, but more devastating than the physical effects are what we know were the spiritual, social, we might say even emotional effects of being a leper. And that is, he was unclean. He was declared to be unclean and therefore excluded from normal life. We read from Leviticus 13 earlier. I'll remind you, the leprous person, according to Leviticus 13, has to wear torn clothes. He has to let his hair of his head hang loose, and he has to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and he shall live alone outside of the camp. Now, when the Bible talks about unclean here, it's important we understand it's not a reference to personal hygiene, as if he just needs to take a bath or something. It's not about dirt on the body. Clean and unclean in the law is a reference to, we might say, a religious state before God. In the book of Leviticus, you can be holy, you can be clean, and you can be unclean. These are all religious states that people were in. And there are many reasons why someone might be considered unclean according to the law. Lots of things in Leviticus you can read through. If you give birth to a child, you are unclean for a period of time. If you touch a dead body, you're unclean. If there are various other things. Normally, there's a specified time for you to be in that state, and there was a way for you to become clean again, usually through sacrifice, usually through seeing the priest. And of course, that's true for the leper too. We read that. The important thing to understand about the leper, though, is he was in a perpetual state of being unclean until his leprosy goes away. And so it's a permanent condition unless he's actually healed. So permanently, he is excluded. If you're unclean, you're outside the camp. You're excluded from fellowship with God and his people. And so no wonder this man is desperate to see Jesus. I mean, can you imagine just for a minute the social devastation of being a leper? I mean, it's still true even today. You think of leper colonies, you really are forced to live alone or with other lepers, and that's it. The leper in Israel was removed from their family, removed from their friends, and live alone. We all know what a problem loneliness is. It's a huge problem in our society today. But at least if you're lonely, if you and I are lonely, we have opportunities to fix it. We can try to meet people. We can come to church. We can try to find community. The leper really can't do that. He's not allowed to. Right? He has to, if you think back to early COVID years and social distancing, the leper has permanent social distancing in place. Nobody can come near him. He has to cry out before he gets close to anyone, unclean, so that they know they need to clear out because they don't want to become unclean themselves. I mean, it's a horrible thing. There's also, I mean, imagine the emotional toil that would take just to be kind of outcast among your own people, to be considered literally an untouchable. No one would touch him. And of course, the religious devastation. You might think at least maybe if he can't do that, he at least go worship God and find solace there. But he was cut off from the tabernacle, from the normal worship, no access to God. And so as some people have noted, I like this, the leper was like a dead man walking. So he's alive, but he's not really living. Everything that God created us to enjoy in life, fellowship with God, fellowship with others, family, friends, social. He has none of that. It's all been taken away. He's living alone. This is why he has to notice the description of the leper is letting his hair of his head hang loose and tear his clothes. That's a sign of mourning. He's in a perpetual state of mourning. He's not living the life he was created to live. He's a dead man walking. Now, we might ask, why did God treat lepers this way? I mean, this is part of the law that they had to be separated. Why this category of clean and unclean? And a lot we could say there, but the basic idea is in these categories, God is teaching us about his holiness and our need, right? By having these different ritual states of clean, unclean, and needing to be clean to come into his presence, God was teaching his people throughout Israel that to be in the presence of God requires us to be clean. And this is what we read from Numbers 5, when God says, put everyone who's unclean out of the camp, that they might not defile the camp in which I dwell. I mean, that's one of the clearest things the Old Testament teaches about God. You can't just enter his presence unless you're prepared, unless you've been set apart to do it, unless you're clean. God is holy. His ultimate purity. You can't just barge into his presence unless you have been set apart and made acceptable. I mean, this is so important. It's true in the New Testament. Even the last book of the Bible, Revelation, talks about the new heavens, the new earth, the life everlasting, heaven. It says in Revelation 21 or 22, nothing unclean will be there. It's the same idea from the Old Testament. You have to be made clean to be in God's presence. Nothing unclean. You have to be consecrated. You have to be set apart. And that's not something we can do ourselves. That's why they had to go through a priest and sacrifice. And so as Israelites lived their normal life, and they would have become unclean often through various things, and that would have been teaching them, I need to be clean. I need a priest. I need sacrifice to be in God's presence. So all that to say, the leper is desperate. He's desperate not just to be healed, but to be made clean, to be made whole. Now, what does that have to do with us? we might ask. And here's probably the most challenging part of this message. The leper is a picture of all of us and of the need that we all have. I mean, who are we in this story? Yeah, sometimes when you're reading stories of the Gospels, it's good to ask, you know, where am I? Well, there's only two characters here, if you notice. There's Jesus and the leper. I mean, I don't want to offend you, but you're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. There's only one other option, right? This is easy. We are actually the leper. I know that's hard to handle. The leper's desperate condition, right, being cut off from God and the fullness of life is a picture of what sin has done to us all, right? The leper's outward, you know, condition, his outward uncleanness is a picture of the inner uncleanness that is in all of our lives because of sin that we've personally done and just sin in the world. We're cut off, we're unfit for God's presence, and we don't enjoy the fullness of life. That's what sin does to us. It robs us from the joy of life that God has created us to have. We all know this. And I realize this is challenging. Most of us don't think of ourselves. We don't see ourselves like this. One of the advantages of the leper is that he's under no illusion that he's not unclean, that he doesn't need help. He doesn't need cleansing. For most of us, most Americans anyway, we do have that illusion. We don't think we need cleansing. I always think of the late theologian John Stott, who I thought very insightfully wrote years ago, what keeps most people away from Jesus is not that we hate Jesus, it's just, as he put it, we don't see our need of him. We don't see our need of him. I don't need Jesus. We're not desperate for him. And the reason we're not desperate for Jesus is because we don't think we need to be clean. You know, I'm not a leper. I'm a pretty put-together person. I'm pretty successful. I clean up nice. I have a basic morality to my life. I'm not unclean, right? That's what most of us think. And if that's where you're at this morning, and if everything in your life is working perfectly well, there's probably nothing I'm going to say today that will convince you otherwise. But one of the things I've learned about myself and as I've gotten older is for most of us, everything is not working well in our life. Underneath our put-togetherness. You know, we live in Scottsdale, North Phoenix, and everyone is put together. But underneath the put-togetherness, there is so much brokenness and guilt and shame, loneliness, anxiety, depression, or just a general emptiness. Yeah, I have everything I thought I needed to be happy, and I'm still empty inside. What is life about? There's no meaning or purpose. I mean, a lot of that is right under the surface, right under the Instagram accounts. And even if you were willing to go there, what's underneath that, what's fueling that, if you really get down to it, there is this sense, this knowledge, I am unclean. I am unclean. There's something not whole about me. There's something wrong with me, and I can't fix it. In fact, every time I try to fix it, it just makes it worse. And it's when we begin to realize that, then we start getting desperate. We start getting desperate. We start looking for help. And as you've heard me say over the years, I think one of the signs that God is calling you, that the Spirit is at work in your life, is you begin to realize this about yourself. You begin to realize our desperate condition. You begin to realize I'm a lot more like this leper than I thought. I need whole. There's something missing. There's something wrong with me. And maybe Jesus has what I need. So the desperation of the leper, and that leads to the second point we want to consider, is the faith of the leper. So the leper comes to Jesus, he sees Jesus, he boldly moves towards him, violating many social norms in the process. Again, he was supposed to keep his distance. Nobody wants to be around a leper. That's, I mean, obviously still true today. But he goes up to Jesus. It's unclear quite how close he gets to him. It has to be pretty close. And what would make him so bold? Well, he believes that Jesus has the power to cleanse him. He believes this. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It's really remarkable for him to say that. I mean, we don't know what he knew exactly about Jesus. He couldn't have known that much, though. Compared to most of us, he probably had a very basic knowledge of Jesus. He had a very limited exposure. Maybe he heard, probably heard a report that this Jesus is a miracle worker healing people. Maybe he heard a snippet or two of teaching something Jesus said, but that had to be about it. Kids, most of you who are growing up in the church and learning about Jesus probably know more about Jesus now than this leper did. He didn't know anything about Jesus's full deity, most likely, or how his deity and humanity relates in one person, or the nature and extent of the atonement, any of that stuff. He just knew, I am unclean. No human power can help me, but Jesus can. I believe that Jesus can. And again, isn't this how often how God works in our life? I find that often when we're first become, Jesus is first drawing us, yeah, we don't know. We haven't read lots of deep theology books. We can't wax eloquent about some of the things that are important and we'll learn later. We've never read the Nicene Creed, which we'll recite later. We just know Jesus can help me. I need help. I'm desperate. Jesus can help me. He's able to do it. And honestly, that's where saving faith begins, when we begin to realize our own inability and begin looking completely to Jesus for our help. When we despair of ourselves and look to him and him alone, that's saving faith, right? Saving faith, we say, is extrospective as opposed to introspective. That just means if I don't look inward to find hope and help, I'm looking outward. I look to Jesus and I take hold of him and what he offers. That's saving faith. I give up on myself. I look to him. And that's what the leper's doing. And he says, though, notice this, there's an implied question in the statement, are you willing to save me? Right? Jesus doesn't doubt, I'm sorry, the man doesn't doubt Jesus' power to heal him. But the question, the statement that he makes, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean, does imply he does have a question, is Jesus willing to do it? Right? And why would he doubt Jesus' willingness? Well, we know why. He was a leper. He was an outcast in society. One commentator says lepers were regarded with horror by people at that time. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. And so it's understandable that he approaches Jesus. He has a question. I know you're able, but would you care enough for a leper? Would you actually heal someone like me? Would you actually love and give your time and attention to someone like me? It's really a sad and powerful question. I mean, you can hear the shame underneath that question, right? Shame is a feeling that we are unworthy of love and belonging. A lot of people experience that. A lot of people experience that with God, too. You know, I know I hear the promises that Jesus loves people, but he can't be talking about me. It's shame. Am I really worthy? Are you really willing? And, you know, we feel for this man, but it's also our question. Jesus, are you really willing? You know, I used to think early on in my ministry, honestly, and, you know, first church, first couple of years, in seminary, they always tell you, there's always people in the church, Christians, non-Christians, that really struggle to believe that God could love someone like them. And I always have believed that, but I always thought it was a small minority of people. Yeah, maybe 5% struggle with that. And fast forward 15 years, I think that's very naive, and I think most of us struggle with that. And if you don't struggle with it at some point in your life, you probably will. I was at a retreat not long ago. Some of you know I was out for a couple weeks. One of those weeks, I was at a retreat with about 40 guys from across the country. All of these guys, fairly successful, fairly put together. But the retreat was focused on dealing with shame. And underneath the surface, there's so much shame that so many of us carry. And shame manifests itself in this question, are you willing? Do you really, really care? If you saw the ugly things inside of me, the things I hide from everyone else, the things I can barely look at myself, would you actually draw near to me? And there's this belief that we have, it's very powerful, that if Jesus actually saw those places, he would go the other way. Are you willing? That's what this man is asking. We all have those places, and we have the same question. And that leads to the last scene, the cleansing of the leper. So two remarkable things happen in verse 13. First, we read that Jesus touches this leper. All right, let me read that again. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, why is that remarkable? We've already said it. Nobody touched lepers. You would never do that. lepers really were untouchable, and of course, Jesus didn't have to touch the leper. He could have healed him with the word. That's what he does for many people. He could have just said the word. He didn't have to reach out and touch him. Could have healed him from a distance. Or, this is interesting, he could have cleansed him first and then touched him. He could have said, be clean, and then once he was clean, reached out his hand and touched him. That would make more sense. But Jesus, that would reverse the order. Jesus reaches out this man and touches him in his uncleanness. He touches leprous skin. He touches this man like right in his shame, right in the places where he doubts God could love him. With all of his filth, all of his sores, Jesus reaches and touches him there. And why? Well, because he is full of compassion and love for this man. It's such a picture of the gospel, right? Jesus comes to us in our place of shame and brokenness and meets us there. It's not we clean ourselves up and then he can touch us. Jesus is willing to touch us even there. And we see his heart in this, not just for the leper, but for all of us. His touch says, yes, I am willing to heal you. I'm willing to cleanse you. I won't keep my distance and I'm not ashamed of you. What a comfort that is. Because, of course, if Jesus is willing to draw near to the leper and touch diseased skin, well, he's willing to draw near to us. He's willing to, as it were, reach into our life and heal the places we're most ashamed of. And we have to remember that. Never let your guilt or your shame or your brokenness keep you away from Jesus. He's not ashamed to call you brothers, Hebrews 2, right? Isn't that amazing? He's not ashamed of us. But there's also a challenge here. There's a challenge which I won't spend long on, but what does it mean to live as the people of God in this world? Listen, there are so many people like the leper, so many people in our world that the world has written off, that nobody will go near, that people recoil from. Who will go to them? Who will show them compassion and the love of Christ? Must it not be Christians? Right? Must it not be the people of God that go there? One commentator on this verse says, this, Jesus is not horrified by the approach of the leper. The leper does not have to convince Jesus that he's worth the effort. And he says the church should follow the model of Jesus in its care for the emotionally wounded outcasts of society, for all who are leprous with visible and sometimes invisible sores. I think that's right. But then the second surprising thing is not just that Jesus touches the leper, but that we read immediately the leper is cleansed. And this is surprising, first of all, because we see the power and authority of Jesus here. As we've seen throughout the last several weeks, he says the word and it happens. He rebukes demons, they go out. He rebukes fevers, they're healed, complete. And now he touches the leper, he's completely clean immediately. And there's a reversal here that's happening. And according to the Old Testament law, if you touched a leper, you become unclean. But now Jesus touches the leper and he doesn't become unclean, the leper becomes clean. It's a great reversal. The defilement of the leper doesn't spread to Jesus. Jesus' holiness spreads to the leper. And there's really a powerful picture here of the work that Jesus does and offers to do for all of us. He takes upon himself our uncleanness and his holiness. His righteousness becomes ours, right? 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, you know, God made him sin to be sin who knew no sin. Our sin goes to Jesus. His righteousness comes to us, and we see that here. But there, it does create a question. There's an unresolved tension. How could that be? How can Jesus, according to the law, you're supposed to be defiled if you touch a leper. You're supposed to become unclean. Jesus doesn't. Why not? And the answer is, of course, it's where all the gospels take us. Jesus will become unclean. He will be treated as one who is outside the camp. Hebrews 13 writes about how Jesus suffered outside of the camp. At the cross, the crucifixion, Jesus was treated as one unclean. He had to go out of the city, unclean, where all of the people who were unclean in the Old Testament had to go. Jesus went there. He suffered there. He died there. He became untouchable. Even God the Father turned his face away from Jesus on the cross. not for his own sin, but because he was taking all of our uncleanness and sins upon himself that he might make us clean. And then in verse 14, Jesus directs this man back to the priest after he cleanses him. Go and do the sacrifices that the law commanded you. Of course, some of those sacrifices which we read were all a pointer to Jesus' work anyway. Going to see a priest, having to have the shedding of blood. This was all pointing to what Jesus would do. But Jesus directs him back to the law and thereby restoring him to the fullness of life because it was needed at that time for the priest to declare him clean so that he can go back to his family, back to fellowship. So Jesus restores him to the fullness of life. The law which condemned him after Jesus heals him now vindicates him. It's the work that Jesus does for all of us. And the story finishes in verse 15 and 16 just by noting that the word about Jesus is spreading like wildfire, understandably so. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Jesus needed communion with God and strength from God to do the work of ministry. We'll say more about this as we go through Luke, but I'll just say now, how much more important is it for us if we want to be used by Jesus to be people of prayer? But let me finish just by asking this. Again, who are we? Where do you see yourself in this story? And if we don't see ourselves as the leper, fundamentally, we've missed the point. Right? The cleansing of the leper shows us our own need. Because of our sin and rebellion, we are unclean. We are those outside the camp. We're unfit for the presence of God. But Jesus is able and willing to cleanse us completely. He is the one who can change the leper's spots and make us whole. Do you know you need that? Are you desperate for that? Have you come to him and asked? And if we have, if Jesus has done this for us, again, I think a side final push is, may we go live lives that show that kind of love and compassion to those around us, being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who need him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this story, this true story of Jesus' love and compassion and mercy for the leper. Help us to see ourselves in it. Thank you that Jesus isn't just willing to cleanse lepers, he's willing to cleanse us. And just give us greater thankfulness for our salvation this morning as we sing and as we prepare to come to the table. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.